The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now I'm joined by Conor Faulkner, transport commentator and CEO of the RIAC. Conor, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Hi.
Now, we want to talk this morning about taxis and taxi drivers. And they have a litany of complaints.
Yeah. And look, everybody is seeing the outturn of this because there's a shortage of taxis. It's acute at the weekend in Dublin. And if anything, it's worse in Cork. And it exists right around all parts of Ireland, rural Ireland as well. There's a general shortage of taxis. Now, why would that be? There was a big collapse in numbers during COVID, expectedly. But it really
hasn't
become...
There was no business, so people... Found other jobs.
Yeah, found other jobs, got out of the industry. And right now, there's a serious delay in the process of getting a taxi licence. You have to get your small public service vehicle licence. I was talking to some old taxi contacts yesterday and, you know, some stuff I won't repeat, but they were very, very critical of the NTA, just general slowness and lack of responsiveness. And on a specific, the delay or the amount of time it takes for an individual to get a taxi license and get out and trade.
Now, if you are getting a new taxi, it has to be wheelchair accessible. If it's a new license, if you already have a car and then it's banjaxed, do you have to replace that with a wheelchair accessible car?
You do, I believe. I mean, and that's the rule right around Ireland, and not just for taxis, for hackneys as well. And it's one of the things that drivers complain about, or people in the industry complain about. There is a view that it shouldn't be obligatory for all taxis. And I know the taxi drivers themselves say that it just pushes up their costs. Also, by the way, if you want to drive an electric taxi, there seems to be a general shortage of electric
taxis. But I've been in loads of EV taxis, and I know they got a grant of something like 20 grand if you were an existing taxi driver. But, you know, they're not wheelchair accessible.
True, and if there's a general shortage, if you want a wheelchair accessible electric taxi, the range of models available is more limited, and the cost of them is expensive. Also, there's an issue with certification of new models. So, as you know, as new vehicles come on the market in Ireland, they actually have to be individually added to the list of acceptable vehicles by the NTA. Other European countries don't seem to have that issue. Type approval is good enough for them.
So, if again, the EU says okay, it should be okay for us.
You would think so. But we seem to be a little bit hidebound by regulations. There's a
perplexing thing then, because so many of the taxis that I would take are Prius. Some of them are imports from Japan, but some of them are locally sourced. You can generally tell by either the Japanese lettering or whatever it might be. And they are not wheelchair accessible. And yet there are non-national drivers, particularly driving these, who may not have been here that long. So how does that come about?
Yeah, and you wonder, is the driver the owner, or is the driver an employee, for example? One of the things that they'll tell you is that a lot of people, the traditional Irish taxi driver, the model used to be that they worked 40, 50 hours a week. They would tell you about it, but you know, you'd have your chats on the rank. That was what they did. A lot of Irish taxi drivers are now really going part-time. It's a supplementary income, and they're not interested in getting out at the weekends. They're not interested in being out at the peak times. Whereas the ones who are tend, and we shouldn't generalise, it can be offensive, but I mean, they tend to be non-national, hardworking individuals prepared to put in enormous hours. And the business can be lucrative if you're willing to put in huge, huge hours. But they find obstacles in front of them because it can be, they still have to do a knowledge test, for example. And in the era of sort of Google SatNav, et cetera, you know, you don't need to do that to deliver a pizza. Is it really, really necessary for...
And air codes, of course, can
air codes have
bring you right
the need.
To the door. It's funny that, you know, I've lived in Dublin City all my life, but there are addresses that I would not be familiar with, particularly in the outer suburbs. So I would fail the knowledge test, even though I'm born and bred here. So what hope does someone who's lived here for 10 years have of knowing the knowledge?
Yeah, and what need is there for it? I mean, if you want to be a taxi driver in Middleton, how well do you know, need to know Bantry as part of a knowledge test? And, you know, particularly for people in a second language, it's just an unnecessary extra obstacle. So the picture we're getting here is there's actually plenty of people who would enter the industry. When you look at demand on a Saturday night, Sunday night, there was a study done by Bolt, which is one of the apps, and they released data back in January, which showed that in Dublin, about nearly 50% of all peak time requests were declined. So in other words, people people who requested a taxi during the app over the weekend, they couldn't get their taxi ride. In Cork, the figure was even higher. So the demand is definitely there. And why isn't it being fulfilled? Well, as I say, people in the industry will point mostly to the shortage of drivers and that being caused by unnecessary bureaucratic delay. And now you have to do things like background checks on drivers, etc. Sure. You do accept that. But nevertheless, it takes too long. That seems to be the refrain.
Now, there is a huge demand for taxis. Mm. I mean, in fairness to young people, they will not generally drink and drive in the cities. Rural Ireland may be different because the shortage of supply of taxis may leave you with no choice but to try and find a designated non-drinking driver. But in the cities, the taxi culture is really alive and well, so the demand is huge.
The demand is huge, and not just the taxi culture, the general on-demand culture for everything. Modern expectation, press a button and it arrives. And you'll get good and bad to that because, as I say, sometimes there's unfulfilled demand. But definitely there is a market there if you have people to serve it.
So you're being told, on the one hand, be responsible, don't take a car, you're polluting the city, you're clogging up the city, take a taxi or public transport, and yet they put obstacles in the way of creating a taxi fleet fit for purpose.
And this feeds into other problems we have, like road safety problems. I mean, again, the nighttime economy in Ireland suffers for want of taxis. And there was a coalition of people involved in the nighttime economy. And again, they were formed last year. They've been making comment about it, the safety of their patrons, and just the fact that it diminishes the nighttime economy when everybody going out is anxious about how they're going to get home. So it shouldn't be that way. And it does clearly feed into things like drink driving and all sorts of. And the other thing that gets complained about by the legitimate taxi industry, and it's a refrain I make on road safety as well, general lack of enforcement. You know, perceptions that you can essentially get away with anything.
Yeah. And you can have ghost drivers. In other words, you can have people masquerading as the same person. Because they may look similar.
And you know,
the taxi's going 24 hours a day.
Yeah, and you look at this and you say, oh my goodness, is that one hardworking individual who's actually driving 70, 80 hours a week? And there are individuals who do that. There's no working time directive for a self-employed taxi driver, so there's no maximum driving hours. There are people who do that, but again, it could easily be two, three people using the cab, and there's, you'd have a general uncertainty about how well it's being enforced and policed. But that's not as big a problem for the consumer, in my mind, as just the sheer number and availability of taxis.
Now, the Hackney used to be a feature of particularly rural life. And just looking at the way a Hackney operates, I mean, you have to agree a price before you undertake the journey. Number one, you order the Hackney. The Hackney cannot pick you up on the side of the road. But equally, the Hackney does not have to be identified by a sign. So you can have a quiet little Mercedes arriving at your door to pick you up, bring you at an agreed price to somewhere local. Mm-hmm. And local in the Dublin area could be from your home to the airport, for
example.
Okay, so why aren't more people getting Hackney licenses, which is effectively Uber? Because Uber operates entirely in other
cities.
It's
more or less the same.
Not like here, where they're all taxi drivers, but in other cities, they operate with normal vehicles. They're always online. They're not hailed. So that's effectively a Hackney. Why don't we have more people doing Hackney work?
It's a fair question. And if you step back and look at business models like Uber and say, look, how essentially does that differ from the traditional Hackney? And yet Ireland essentially hasn't allowed Uber in. And Uber have been lobbying for it over the last number of years and heard some sympathetic noises from government. Leo Varadkar was mildly supportive a year or so ago.
See, the Hackney driver would have the Garda vetting and all of that.
Well, that's the thing, yeah. And I think that's one of the barriers with Uber. And there has been, fairly or unfairly, but there's a perception in Ireland that there isn't the same layer of kind of public safety or ability to scrutinise drivers. Now, whether that's a fair criticism or not, but it's definitely one of the reasons why Uber has not been licensed in Ireland. And what is the solution? Is it to throw it open to an Uber-like model? Maybe ultimately, but at least can we not do the stuff that we know we should be doing?
Somebody wants
to be a taxi driver.
The Hackney business could be expanded.
Yeah.
First of all,
somebody wants to be a Hackney driver, wants to be a taxi driver. You could be arrived from the Ukraine 2 years ago and you want to do, you know, you want to do some work. Why is it so difficult and so time consuming from you to get you know, for you to get from the point where you want to do it to the point where you're actually on the road in a licensed taxi. And some of those barriers are onerous. As I say, if it's new, it's got to be wheelchair accessible. It has to be less than 10 years old, etc. So their business costs rise as well.
Here's a text probably from a taxi driver, perhaps. Buses Lewis Dart brings everyone into Dublin City Centre on Saturday night, but none of them are around to bring them home.
Yeah.
That needs to change. You can't keep blaming the shortage of taxis.
Yeah, it's an old refrain. That's an argument from 30 years ago. It's less true than it used to be. There are much better nighttime services, particularly in the cities, particularly in Dublin. There are late night buses now that are very, very welcome. But it's still, I guess, a reasonable point. And that's true in our towns and cities where you want a public transport.
The only thing you say to the taxi drivers, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, well,
you know, you could be done out of business.
Well,
if
I mean,
there was every half hour, Lewis, a red, green Dart every half hour right through the night. So many people would take that sociable kind of journey home.
Got to be a good thing. I mean, at the moment, remember, in both Cork and Dublin, about 50% of the journey requests are refused at peak times. So there's a lot of suppressed demand there.
The nine-year rule, that's the rule for the age of the car. It can't be more than 10 years old. Means that so many good drivers are leaving, possibly because they don't want to or can't afford to replace the car, or if they have to get a wheelchair-accessible vehicle, new.
Yes.
Expensive.
Yeah, there was a guy in the west of Ireland, it's an anecdote now, but he tells exactly that story. He said he had an E-Class Mercedes station wagon, a really, really good quality car. He paid a fortune for it. It turned 10 years old. He had to sell it, couldn't use it as a taxi. And he said it galls him to this day to see it still driving around Sligo in mint condition. Absolutely no good reason why it shouldn't be serviceable as a taxi.
I mean,
it's a little bureaucratic there.
We have this inspection of taxis every year.
Yeah,
so
indeed.
If they're not fit for purpose because they're tired, worn, they have to be scrapped or sold on to someone else who wants to buy them, but not as a taxi. But if they're good enough to pass the test, then they should be allowed to stay in service.
Yeah, and what truly is the problem there? So we've got a sort of slightly bureaucratic set of rules. And again, I don't want to make a criticism of the NTA specifically, but I will say that a lot of the feedback that I was getting was very critical of the NTA and their responsiveness and their pace. But there's clearly a backlog of people who want to be taxi drivers, would be out serving those queues on Saturday and Sunday night, but feel becalmed by a very, very slow system of licensing.
Now, some more of the text coming in. A lot of drivers at the weekend turn off their apps, be it Uber or Freenow. Mm-hmm. Freenow charges 15%, so the drivers pick up off the street and at the ranks rather than pay Freenow the money.
Yeah, and they're following a sort of a rational position there, aren't they? If there's loads and loads of demand, their need for the app diminishes. Different times of the week, I'm sure they're very reliant on the app. And, you know, taxi drivers are self-employed. They have their own relationship with whatever app company they're connected to. So I guess good luck to them.
We often hear about the vanishing buses.
Taxis.
A lot
too.
Of vanishing taxis. this text, a lot of taxis accept the fare and then all of a sudden they cancel the fare because they pick and choose where the money is and where they might have not to travel as far to pick up their fare. So if someone hails them on the side of the road, cancel the Freenow or whatever it is, pick up the cash passenger that they've just happened to cross.
Yeah, it's interesting because on the street you cannot refuse a fare. I mean, you cannot reasonably refuse a fare if hailed. So, again, they'll have different relationships with their app companies.
The taxi test is a defunct system. The knowledge test in Dublin is outdated by a number of years. And in order to pass the test, you need to know the street flow from many years ago. Some of those streets are no longer accessible to cars or they've been changed to one way.
Yeah, it's hopelessly outdated. Unnecessary in this day and age and even in and of itself completely outdated.
I couldn't renew my taxi license because the plasters in my medical kit were out of date. I was off the road for 2 weeks awaiting another suitability reset test. Seems crazy. I live in rural Ireland. The whole parish is drink driving, every type of household doing it. Single people, married people, old, young, families with kids at home, families with kids with them in the pub and then driving home with them. A cousin of mine, well known in the community, was killed in a car crash after leaving the pub in his car. You'd think they would learn. It's extremely concerning.
It does still happen. I mean, the evidence says it's not as bad as it would have been a generation ago. But alcohol is still obviously a massive contributor to road deaths. And it's at its worst at those peak times at weekends.
There's an interesting survey on public transport, buses and so on. SIPTU did a survey which says that transport workers, 70% of migrant transport workers have experienced some sort of discrimination or harassment based on their ethnicity. There's more drug use openly on the buses and trams and trains and so on, and a lot of antisocial behaviour.
Yeah, there is. And you know, by anecdote, that does seem to be getting worse and worse. It's really disappointing to hear that, you know, racist abuse is being distributed. And you wonder if it's just people being drunk or stoned and obnoxious on the Lewis, or whether there's, and being rude to whoever they deal with, or whether there's actually specific racism underpinning it. But it paints a fairly ugly picture. I think we should step back a bit and say that the vast majority of journeys that are taken in our public transport system are entirely safe. And but, you know, ugly incidents like that do draw the eye. And I think, you know, we've all seen it from time to time, and it's disappointing. Yeah.
Okay, a final one. There is one taxi license in Roundwood in County Wicklow, but the person who owns it has now retired. There are no other licensed taxis allowed because only one license in this area is permitted.
Very common. Irish taxi drivers are becoming older and older and older. Average age over 50 these days. There are some still on the road in their 70s. Younger taxi drivers tend, on that overall, very commonly to be non-national. And that is the pattern.
Right, extraordinary. Anyway, Conor, thank you very much for joining us. Transport commentator, CEO of the RIAC, Conor Faulkner. Now,
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.